Do you want to go to Lambert's?
What's up, guys? Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. It's been a couple weeks for Funko Pro Greg Walden, but he's back in the house, the world-famous Funko Pro Greg Walden. How are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good.
All over the country, but specifically here in Southwest Missouri, we've had that crazy weather going on.
Yep, it's that time of year. It's that time of year where we get those nice Arctic plunges and snow, ice, and everything else in between.
Yep, so it's interesting. It's interesting, but we've survived. Well, I guess, what do we say to kick off the show today? My one predominant thought for the day is maybe we do need Taylor Swift after all.
Well,
maybe we need her.
See, here's my thing. Here's my conspiracy theory.
Okay.
That's just me. I just kind of make this it's kind of wild out there in the blue, but don't take this serious. It's just my weird brain talking. But if the Chiefs were to go to the Super Bowl, will they just pull Taylor Swift out of the stadium box and put her on the halftime show?
Well, Usher is set to go right now. The great Usher is the Super Bowl halftime show. Right, would they give him the boot?
Well, no, he could still do it. But they'll just kind of like, hey, since you're here, can you mind just doing a song or something, you know?
Yeah, who knows what'll happen. Yeah. Well, let's still talk football for a second. It's all the rage here in town today. So we do have the Kansas City Chiefs get the win 27-24 over the Buffalo Bills. And once again, poor Josh Allen. He's crying right now as we do this podcast.
And it's by 3 points.
Oh, man. I feel bad. You know, obviously we're kind of Chiefs. Well, I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm a Vikings fan, too. But I do kind of feel some sympathy for the guy. Just can't get over.
Well,
you know?
The Bills team
Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Well, the Bills franchise. I mean, look at that in the 90s when they lost 4 straight Super Bowls.
That was, and they had a great team. Thurman Thomas, yeah. Jim Kelly, yeah. Yeah. Bruce Smith.
Andre Reed.
And
the last time the Chiefs played a playoff game in Buffalo was in 1993 when Montana was quarterback. And they lost that.
I'm a basketball guy, so I kind of compare it to, because we've lived in Utah, and I got to go to a lot of Utah Jazz games, I kind of compare it to the Utah Jazz. Karl Malone, John Stockton, legendary players. Brought tons of success, but just couldn't get over.
Yeah.
Get that championship. And, you know, that's – and I compare it to basketball, too, in that, you know, there's – I go back to different phases of NBA history. It's like a lot of people – think of Charles Barkley, Stockton, Malone.
Yeah.
All these guys, who couldn't they get past? They couldn't get past Jordan.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you're in this era where you're great, but you can't get past the guy that's there. Yep. And so for Josh Allen, it's – Pat Mahomes, it's like the Geico, caveman wakes up now, you know. That's how Josh Allen is. He wakes up with nightmares of
but see, I think Pat Mahomes the Bills could have won that game. I mean, anybody could have won
absolutely.
That game, but the Bills, they missed that last-minute field goal. You know, that dude had to be like, oh, man.
Yep. I knew it was good. Yeah, yeah. And then I was really worried about the other game that we had, which was – what was the other one there? We had the Ravens. Excuse me. The – Green Bay Packers versus San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
Because that was my pick. My pick is Ravens over the 49ers for the Super Bowl championship.
Yeah.
That's my pick. So I was worried because when I was watching the game, Niners are down.
Yeah.
Versus the Packers, and they do not look like they're going to win the game. I'm like, come on. Like, you're making me look like I don't know what I'm talking about with sports here. Sorry, I had to get back to pull up the scores there. And they get the win 24-21. Another field goal game within a field goal.
Yeah.
And so 49ers eke out that win. But again, I'm kind of going with a little more feeling than analytics in that it just feels like this is Lamar Jackson's time.
It could be.
And he is Michael Vick of, you know, I mean, I think back to when I was gaming, like Madden, Michael Vick, he was like just unstoppable in the league. Yeah. Lamar Jackson, if he gets let loose.
Yeah, he's dangerous when he runs.
He can sling it.
He's better because like Mahomes doesn't run as much as he used to, like because the ankle issue he's got, he's that prone to get the ankle injury, so he don't think he runs as much as he used to. But Lamar Jackson, that dude, he's like a gazelle when he gets out.
No, running. Mahomes nowhere near as fat. Lamar is exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, probably legitimately the best athlete potentially in the NFL right now. So yeah, the Ravens get the win, 34-10 over the Texans. We get the 49ers, 24-21. The Lions, everyone's all hyped up about the Lions. Two wins.
Yeah.
Their first time to go to the Super Bowl. Everyone's going crazy. Well, that's the heartwarming team.
Yeah, my branch chief is the Lions fan. He lives up there in Michigan, so he's all Lions doubt and everything. So, But I be honest with you, I would like to see a Chiefs and Lions Super Bowl.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. You know, it'll be interesting. I don't know. It just seems, it seems like it is Lamar Jackson and the Ravens' time. I could be wrong on that one. And yeah, my expert pick is Ravens versus 49ers with the Ravens getting the win. If that happens, then I'll look like a very smart sports analyst.
Well, let me segue into that.
Okay.
Because there's some Super Bowl conspiracies going on this year.
All right. One, as there always is.
Again, this is just conspiracy, but I mean, you can see this on the news. The logo colors for this year and the last two Super Bowls.
Okay.
Were the two colors that represented the teams that were in the Super Bowl. Last year it was red and green.
Mm-hmm.
It was red, Kansas City.
Yep.
Green, Philadelphia.
Mm.
The year before was red and gold.
Okay.
You can almost kind of make a Tampa Bay and Kansas City argument on that. Well, this year it's purple and kind of reddish and purple. Well, Baltimore's purple, San Francisco's red.
Yeah.
Second.
All right, I like. Well, I'm feeling good then so far.
Number two. NFL fans are convinced. This is from. This you can see this on the U.S. Sun. I don't know if it's a. I don't know. Anyways, it was founded on there. NFL fans convinced TV station has leaked the Super Bowl teams after spotting script in live broadcast. This happened up in Canada. So in Canada, they were watching something. And something popped up. Says that on the screen. It says Reba McEntire, Usher, and Post Malone are slated to perform at San Francisco 49ers and Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl matchup for February 11th. That popped up. I guess I don't know if it was
before the game was over or.
Oh, it's this happened. This story was back. On January 22nd.
I want to make my official address on this whole conspiracy thing because I had someone ask the other day, oh, that's the commissioner calling me right now. He's like, don't talk about it. I want to make my official address on that one in that, okay, so I did a while back, I listened to, did I hang up on my wife? My wife's calling me right now. Okay. But I listened to a podcast, a series on Bernie Madoff.
Uh-huh.
Right, and the whole Ponzi scheme, that kind of thing. So a Ponzi scheme, all the like the biggest Ponzi schemes have operated with very few people knowing that.
Right.
Like, so Bernie Madoff, it was him and I think two other guys that it had to be locked tight because you can't, a Ponzi scheme can't, 100 people can't know because it's just too many people.
Right.
The odds are too great that something's going to leak, something's going to bounce out on that. Yeah. Whole thing, you know? So that's my thing with the NFL is if it truly was rigged to get 11 guys on both sides of the field, to get head coaches, to get multiple things going on, would just, you know, it would be super, super complicated.
Right. And again, I'm not making it say, I'm just saying.
I just think there's too many people, you know, in the scheme to pull it off. That's my whole thing with the conspiracy theory.
If San Francisco and Baltimore do go to the Super Bowl, you know, there are going to be people, obviously, there are going to be people like, hey, this was leaked, and it happened. I mean, but again, now it's a 50% chance it's going to happen because you got 25, 25, and 25, and 25. So it's basically 50% chance there's going to be a Super Bowl.
You're going to hold the show for a second, all right?
Yep, okay. All right. All right, well, Pastor Sips away. I'll bring up another story here. All right. And obviously, we do have male and female audiences, mostly male, but there are some female audiences for our show. And to help to give some representation to our female audience, baby names at risk of going extinct in 2024. So obviously, you know, this time of year, you know, there's a lot of people getting ready to have babies or expecting babies or planning on having babies and obviously the names, all that stuff. So these are the baby names at risk of going extinct in 2024. And this is from babycenter.com. Baby girl names at risk of going extinct are Brooke, Blake, Mackenzie, Brooklyn, Charlie, Reagan, McKenna, Finley, Amanda, Michelle, Adeline, Araya, Gracelyn, Callie, Diana, Sawyer, Alea, Angela, Oakley, and Nora. And for those wondering why the baby boy names at risk of going extinct are Julius, Jaden, Johnny. What are we going to do without Johnny if he goes extinct? Raiden, Reed, Brady, Nasir, Ronan, Bradley, Clayton, Hendricks, Princeton, Bo, Eden, Aiden, Orion, Preston, Maximus, Baylor, and Raphael. So those are names in 2024 that, according to babycenter.com, are going extinct. So if you want to be unique, keep the names alive. Name your kid McKenzie or Finley or even Maximus.
Okay, I'm back. So it's top baby names in 2024?
No, these are baby names that are going extinct.
Oh, extinct. Yeah. Okay, wow.
So, like, I got two. My two daughters are Mackenzie and Michelle, and they're both going extinct. So,
oh wow,
my daughters may be the last.
I do find that the older I get, the generational names to be interesting. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got the super old ladies in our church. It's like Dolores, Ella Mae, Liberta.
Yeah,
and they're classic. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying like it defines generations. My daughter, I have a daughter named Zoe. Now, we named her Zoe because it's the Greek word life in the Bible, but you'll meet a lot of Zoes in her kind of 5-year period because Zoe on Sesame Street was like a new popular character. So everyone thought that was cool. There's this character named Zoe on Sesame Street. You know who that is? There's like a Zoe on Sesame Street, one of the puppets, not like the people.
I haven't watched Sesame Street for a long
time. What's wrong
with
you? I haven't either for a long time. But so I do find names to be very, very interesting. Even my own name, like a lot of people like Jeremiah Johnson, like old dudes are like, I love that movie, man, 1976.
I like that Robert guy. Redford. I remember reading about the guy in history. He lived like in the Northwest. He got injured and almost killed by a bear, and the Native Americans kind of nursing him back to life. Oh, man, he had a beard.
I think one of my favorite stories ever, I was in a sprinkler store. Okay. How manly is that? I'm in the sprinkler lawn. What's the technical name for like lawn and garden? It's like a sprinkler watering store, you know, hardware store. And it's all just dudes, older dudes hanging out, right? And so I was like trying to find this one part for a sprinkler head. And then they didn't have it. And as I'm walking out the door, there's like a pack of the like, you know how us old dudes like start congregating and like talking about the good old days. There's like a pack of six of those guys standing there. Then there's a guy at the clerk desk. And he's like, oh, sir, I forgot to like ask you, what was the name on that? I said, the name's Jeremiah Johnson. And you should have seen those six dudes. They just lit up like a Christmas tree. They're like, Jeremiah Johnson, that's so amazing.
And I was alive when the original one was alive back in the 1800s.
Oh, man. Sorry for the confusion on the show here, guys. NFL conspiracies. I don't believe it. I don't believe that it's a conspiracy. Because if it truly was a conspiracy, then the why would the New York Giants stink?
Yeah.
Why would the Jets stink every year?
Again, because I'm just saying it's a conspiracy.
It's the same thing with the NBA.
I'm not saying I subscribe to it. I'm just saying that I just saw it out there.
I think there could be still, like there was in the NBA a few years back, the one guy got in trouble for trying to fix games, like he was getting paid. I think there could be some of that happening. But like, again, to think of how much work that would take to synchronize 11 guys on each side of the field, head coaches, assistant coaches, to get everyone to do a work. That would be so complicated.
Well, we see it in our country. I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Okay.
I know we're getting into politics, but have a certain party that's pretty orchestrated, and you have a bunch of people in there, and they're
saying the Democratic Party is running the NFL?
No. I'm talking. You're saying that. How difficult would it get an organization
to
step on an agenda? Well, we see it in politics, where you got a whole party that's lockstep on an agenda in the national, local, and state level. But that's just
quick shout out to DeSantis. He stepped out. I'm sad now. I like DeSantis. So anyway, don't live in Florida. All right, let's bounce over to a couple other stories. We're still on the Hulk Hogan train here. I saw that. This is great. Hulk Hogan praises God after rescuing teen girl from flipped car using church pen. Okay.
Wow.
Wrestling superstar Hulk Hogan offered praise to God after an incident in which he rescued a 17-year-old girl from a flipped car using a pen from his church. The incident took place on Sunday, January 14th in Tampa, Florida. Hogan, his wife, and his friend Jake Rash were cruising along the highway when they witnessed a crash. According to TMZ, a car had swerved across lanes to make an exit but clipped another car in the process, causing it to flip. Hogan and Rash sprang into action to help get the driver, it was a teenage girl, out of the vehicle. After popping the airbag, they unbuckled the young driver's seatbelt and helped her get out of the car. Thankfully, the driver sustained no serious injuries. Hogan's wife, Skye Daly, later recounted the incident in a Facebook post. Last night, after we left dinner in Tampa, we saw a car flip in front of us. I truly admire my husband, Hogan, and our good buddy, Jake Rask, for springing into action, puncturing the girl's airbag, and getting her quickly out of the car. She wrote, by all appearances, she was unscathed, just really rattled, which is an absolute miracle. In a social media post of his own, Hogan revealed that he had used a pen from his church to puncture the driver's airbags. The crazy part about the teenager that flipped her car was that without a knife to puncture the airbag to get her out, an Indian Rock Christian ballpoint pen came in really handy to pop the airbags. Hogan wrote, thank you, God. All is well, even now. Amen. So, man, shout out to Hogan, good dude. Job, Hogan. He is loving Jesus, doing the work of God. Don't ever underestimate the power of a church pen and Jesus.
The church pen, the saying is, the church pen is mightier than the sword.
So, amen. Yep. Other stories, again, we're in the political season. Just reference there, DeSantis. Now it does. It looks like the Trump train. It already has been rolling down the tracks,
The Trump train is chugging, lugging, lugging.
Haley's about to get ran over, I think.
Well, I'm not a Haley fan, so
yeah,
I'm not a big Haley fan.
Anyway, so there you go. On a political note, how about those high prices nowadays? Funko Pro Greg Walden.
That's been in there for a long time. It's not
so
fun.
I found this funny article. $2.59, it was on usatoday.com. $2.59 for burritos. Taco Bell receipt from 2012 has customers longing for a bygone era. Prices at Taco Bell have significantly climbed in the last decade, and one TikTok user has the receipts to prove it. TikTok user Lovely Ocean dug up an old receipt from the chain dating back to 2012, showing the remarkably cheap total of her order. The video she posted last week sharing the revelation quickly went viral, sparking a social media clamor about inflation and rising food costs at not only Taco Bell, but throughout the fast food industry. Where did we go wrong? Lovely Ocean asked rhetorically as she holds the crumpled, faded receipt. The aspiring rapper said in a follow-up video that she came across an old steak box that she had 12-year-old receipt in it while she was preparing to move. When she looked at the receipt closely, she was shocked to see that she once paid just $2.59 for two beefy five-layer burritos.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's I mean, you know, houses, gas, everything else. It's just
the dollar store is the $1.25 store now. Dollar Tree is $1.25 Tree.
Yeah, they're going to change the name eventually to the.
Where's the dollar menu? Dollar menu doesn't even exist anymore.
But sad days. But you can still go to Walmart and get a cheap banquet like biscuits and gravy pot pie for 99 cents.
Yeah, I'm not a huge good point, and I'm not a huge calorie guys. At this much, you know, I'm working out. I probably need to monitor that more now as I get older. But like Walmart has this like $1.25 burrito. It's really big back by the deli section. And it's like a beef hot burrito. Really good. But then I realized like that burrito is like 800 calories or something. I'm like, oh,
500% of your salt intake for the day.
Whoops. I'm going to have to not eat those anymore. I haven't ate a lot, but anyway. Yeah, it's just amazing. The cost of stuff is just out of control. Will it ever go down at this point? Who knows?
It's not going down, guys. Sorry.
Such is life. Okay. So any other hot stories there, takes, and you want to dive into? Conspiracy theories?
Well, this was interesting. It was since we got on the subject of technology.
Now that the NFL is going to come after us. No longer sponsor the Modern Christian Dudes podcast.
We leaked the Super Bowl. Sorry, guys.
We did give show love to, I showed love to Taylor Swift today, so there we go.
Well, at least somebody did. So, from Tom's Hardware, there's a new technology out. New memory card uses DNA to store your data.
Okay.
I don't know what the DNA is, but it's estimated to cost $1,100 to store 1 kilobyte of data.
Yeah.
1 kilobyte. Now, imagine Atari 2600 game was about 4 kilobytes. So, that would be like paying almost $5,000 for an Atari game to get the same amount of memory that you can pay to store your data on DNA. Now, I don't see where it got the DNA from. Maybe, I don't know if you just swab it and they just store your data on the swab or something. I don't know, but it was on Tom's Hardware. I thought that was interesting.
Huh. I occasionally listen to Joe Rogan if he has a guest that doesn't swear a lot and stuff, and he'll get a lot of these tech guys, you know, and things like that. He'll get Bezos, Zuckerberg, and all these, He's big on AI is just going to take over everything, take over humanity.
But they said this technology, this data would be intact for at least 150 years, which is outside the lifespan of anyone who could complain about storage failure. So you could store your data, and your data will outlive you. Which, obviously, even like flash drives, SSD, hard drives, I mean, a hard drive, you may get like 5 or 6 years out of it. SSD, yeah. Depends on how often you read and write, but there's a certain amount of read-write cycles you can do to an SSD, and then it dies. So, I mean, basically all storage technology that we have now fails. And you're talking about 5 to 7 to 10 years or something like that. So this, obviously, and then the one storage technology we do have that would last, they say lasts about 100 years, is the, it's like, it uses a CD.
Floppy disk?
No. It's a type of CD. I can't remember the name of it. M-disk. M-disk, but they're extremely expensive. Extremely expensive.
Yeah. All right, well, let's bounce over to some spiritual talk, Dudes Talking News, sports, and most importantly, God. And as we start a new year, I've been going through this book called Pray and Go. Have you been reading that one?
I've been meaning to get it, but I haven't got a chance to get it yet.
You need to get it. First of all, as your friend. Second of all, as your pastor.
I've been planning to get it. I just got to rent.
Okay. It's great. Great. I'm not even like, I'm out pitching this book. Some people give me that look like, you're just trying to guilt trip me right now. I'm telling you, it's great. So today I was reading, or today or yesterday, I've been getting ahead because I'm starting other master's degree classes, so I get to get ahead on some reading stuff in my life. But I did this today, actually today. It was talking about praying for communities and families, and one thing he challenged was go pray for 10 houses. You know, just go pray for 10 houses. Walk by them, just pray for salvation, pray whoever's in there, if there's families, you know, just a simple instruction, right? You know, so... And today it's raining out. It's bad weather. I was waiting for the UPS guy, right? And I'm reading this chapter. I'm like, I need to do this. Just stop making excuses. So, you know, I hop in my car and I just pick a street. You know, I just picked a street a couple blocks away. And because of the weather, I didn't get out. I just slowly drove, you know, up and down the street and just prayed salvation and blessing over, you know, people there. And I just, you know, rebuking myself, I'm supposed to be a pastor and this great spiritual leader. We just really make a lot of excuses as Christians, you know, to not do the work of God, specifically with sharing the gospel with other people, praying, and all these things that should be a very natural part of our Christian life. We just make excuses. And I'll pull it up. I'll give you some commentary. I'll pull it up here in a second. But it's kind of like the story of the rich young ruler. You know, Jesus was talking to him, and he's like, hey, you know, the rich young ruler is like, I just want to follow you. What do I got to do? And Jesus is like, well, you know, obey the commandments. You know, he's like, well, I've done all those things. And Jesus is like, well, okay, just go ahead and sell all that you got and give to the poor and come follow me. And the Bible says the rich young ruler goes away sad because he couldn't depart from his wealth. You know, he's making excuses. And we're just, sometimes we're really good at making excuses in our spiritual life.
That's a common Christian affliction, unfortunately. But there's a lot of reasons why Christians don't, you know, especially, you know, sharing the gospel, which is like we're really, really hitting it with the kids last several months, is teaching them how to share the gospel, teaching them the fundamentals. That way they get prepared to go out. And yesterday we did a little exercise. So I said, I want one kid to come up and pretend to be a sinner, one kid come up to pretend to be somebody to go witness that person. And I said, Nana, you go witness that person. And just, I mean, I wasn't trying to set them up. But I was get them used to doing it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they were laughing. I was like, did any of you guys feel awkward doing it? And they go, yeah, I feel awkward. I was like, think about it. If you feel awkward here, how much more awkward are you going to feel when you're doing it in real life out in the world?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. That's why most people don't share the gospel, is because they're either ashamed of what the person will say in return, or they're too concerned what people think about them, or they don't want to be labeled as, oh, you must be one of those Jesus holy rollers. Mm-hmm. They don't want to stand and be counted.
Yeah,
that's just up and there for whatever reason they don't want to stand up and be counted.
Yeah. And that's another one in chapter he goes into in the book. He's talking about, you know, the Bible says this. Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God at work in my life. And part of the reason we make excuses and we don't share Jesus is because we're ashamed.
Yeah.
You know, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we really you know, I think it'd be safe to say all of us need greater boldness to share the gospel. You know, that, again, it's making excuses. Well, you know, I don't want to, like, make anyone feel uncomfortable. You know, I don't, and I can even have those thoughts floating around my mind, right? You know, I want to make sure I don't make someone mad. Well, that's great, but I'm not supposed to be ashamed of the gospel. And I should actually, my thinking should be reversed. I should be thinking, not, I don't know if I should. It should be like, how can I share the gospel? What could I do? Is there some way that I could, you know, share Jesus with this person?
Well, you're going to make a sinner feel uncomfortable. In fact, if you read what Paul said in Colossians or something, I can't remember the actual book name, but basically says, I'm not sorry that you are made to feel sorry, because godly sorrow produces repentance
that leads to salvation.
So, yeah. So it tells you the process by which a person goes from being a sinner to a Christian. I mean, they have to have godly sorrow. I mean, there's no, gospel produces godly sorrow, which leads to repentance, which leads to salvation. So that godly sorrow, I mean, if the person sinner does not have godly sorrow, they can't get saved. I mean, that's according to that phrase in that verse. There's a process. Like when I got saved, I had godly sorrow. I got faced with who God really is. I got faced with who I really was. And when a person understands who God really is, who they really are, mm-hmm. and they really understand, it's gonna have a crushing conviction on them.
Yep.
I mean, they're gonna, and they're like, God, I'm sorry, I violated your holiness, your standard of holiness and perfection that you expect of me, and I can't do it. And I need Jesus. I mean, they gotta cry out for Jesus. That godly sorrow, then that leads to repentance, which means that, you know, obviously repentance means you're making a 180 degree. You're saying, I don't want this life of sin. I want to follow Jesus Christ. I turn away from this life that's going toward sin, life that's going toward hell. I change direction. I'm now following Jesus Christ, which leads to life. And you're making that life, that life changing decision, and then a person gets saved. So if you're like, I don't want to make that person feel uncomfortable, like, well, then you're not going to share the gospel then, because the gospel is going to make that person feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. If you're telling it to them correctly.
Yeah. So I want to, you know, again, hold the mirror up and to myself and say, you know, Jeremiah, stop making excuses. You know, in the opportunities and relationships that you have, and be willing. If it, today I didn't go out and witness to someone one-on-one, it was just the simple act of going down a street and praying for people, you know, and just believing. And you know, the book was, I mean, Pray and Go. I encourage you to check it out. But that book is encouraging. And that he shared, you know, that makes a difference. You know, that stuff makes a difference. Praying for people, because we don't know where people are at on their journeys and all that kind of things.
Think about this. Is my idea is first you witness with your life, and then you speak.
Because mm-hmm.
a lot of people will go out there. You know, it's like I'm telling the kids. Like, you know, obviously, I said you've never seen pastor go up to somebody and say, "You're going to hell."
Yeah.
No, nobody's going to, I mean, you're going to shut that person off quicker than you know what.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you find a way to establish
relationship.
Connection. You establish a connection with that person. Mm-hmm. And then you get in discussion, and then, and God will have a way of miraculously bringing that subject up. I mean, you'll be surprised that he's going to be talking to the person like, well, you know, I'm going through this. Like, you know, they'll just come up, and that's when you can share the gospel with that person.
Yeah.
And then obviously that person will either respond to it or say, sorry.
Yeah.
And so.
Amen. Well, hey guys, we're so grateful to have you back, to have Funkle Pro Greg Walden back, getting back into the groove of 2024 here on the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. We encourage you to like, share, subscribe. You know, like when I'm talking to people about podcasts, I'm like, hey, have you listened to this one before? Say the same thing about the Modern Christian Dudes.
Punch that subscribe button.
Join the MCD Nation.
Hey guys,
go Chiefs.
You wanna go to Lambert?
We'll see what happens next week. We'll be talking about who's going to be in the Super Bowl next time we talk on Modern Christian Dudes podcast. Talk to you guys next time.
James.